Are you tired of feeling tired? Do you wish you could turn back the clock on aging? NT-Factor Lipids is the breakthrough supplement that's scientifically proven to repair and renew your body's cells. NT-Factor Lipids are identical to the phospholipids found in your cellular membranes. They've been shown to repair mitochondrial damage, a primary cause of biological aging. In clinical trials, NT-Factor therapy resulted in a 26.8% increase in mitochondrial function, restoring it to levels found in young adults. NT-Factor has also been shown to reduce fatigue by up to 43% and has even been shown to significantly reduce a wide range of symptoms and improve the quality of life in patients with various conditions like chronic fatigue and those undergoing chemotherapy. I've been using NT-Factor for years and prescribe it for my patients. You can find the NT-Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer. Or, to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The program is about you and your concerns, and you can participate by calling 877-726-8255. Any questions related to high-tech medicine or the use of natural therapies, or perhaps you had an experience that you want to share with us, something that we've talked about on this program has either worked for you, hasn't worked for you, or whatever. 877-726-8255. We'll take some of those recorded calls momentarily. We have a story here on something that I covered 10 years ago. And at the time, I was really kind of upset about it because there was a supposed expose of herbal products. And I'll take you back 10 years ago. There was a study performed at the University of Guelph that purported to show that herbal supplements were adulterated and had virtually no active constituents. And basically what they said was these products were just a bunch of talcum powder, you know, or rice powder. There was no active ingredient. And at the time, you know, I looked at that and I said, well, oh, yeah, this is a bummer. Let's look at this more closely. Let's look at the actual study. And I said that the study was all wrong. The study was all wrong because it used a methodology that was not the right methodology to determine if there are active ingredients in the supplements. That methodology is looking at the DNA signature. It's kind of, you know, go back to the OJ trial. Using the DNA signature, they tried to see if, you know, OJ's DNA was on the glove and on the clothing and et cetera, et cetera. So they used the same technology, which is PCR, polymerase chain reaction, which is a sensitive technology to pick up the DNA signature of various constituents. And yeah, it kind of makes sense because, like, if you say the product is curcumin, you know, you look for the DNA of a turmeric plant, right? Yeah, that kind of makes sense, right? Or, you know, pick anything. I don't know. Pick ginkgo biloba. You know, that's another example. There should be some ginkgo biloba DNA in the product. And what they found, sadly, is there was minimal to negligible amounts of DNA. The problem with that methodology is that we're talking about an extract from a plant. And so the plant, you know, gets processed and the cells get discarded and the extract that may be rich in active nutrients, phytochemicals, these are the things that go into the product. And so the people who are in the supplement industry, they they do their own quality control. They have very expensive machines costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, perhaps millions of dollars, that do high-tech liquid chromatography to look at the chemical signature for compounds. And there's kind of like a fingerprint for every compound that's out there. A fingerprint for curcumin, a fingerprint for ginkgo biloba active extracts, etc. Okay, and they know what that is. And so when they look at materials, they got to make sure, you know, they order materials. Sometimes the materials come, you know, from farmers or even from overseas, from Asia, from India. You want to make sure that the products really contain what they're supposed to contain. So they do that. That's the right technology. So I even had experts on in 2013 to rebut the findings of the Guelph study because it was bogus. Well, they were off to the races with that study. The paper led to a lurid article in the New York Times about malfeasance in the supplement industry, specifically pointing to GNC and other retailers who are basically selling adulterated junk. And it even sparked an investigation in 2015 by the office of then New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Well, since then, he's had to resign in disrepute. His fortunes have not gone well, and his political career was ended. Nonetheless, the probe spurred other states' attorneys general, to launch their own probes. So it became like a political thing. Like we're going to, you know, in the guise of consumer protection, you know, we're going to out the supplement industry. Well, it's now, 10, 11 years later, the original study has been retracted. That's kind of a big deal. It's like a study that gets published in a major medical journal and peer-reviewed, when it gets retracted, that's a big deal. It's hard for that to happen. But they basically reevaluate and they say, it's junk science. That, I think, is a big deal. According to a spokesperson for GNC, my big takeaway is flawed science and political egos make for some strange bedfellows, right? We're happy to see that finally they corrected the record on that. 877-726-8255, our number. Let's take a call from the individual who wants to know about sepsis.
I am 73 years old, no meds. I got a diagnosis of sepsis without acute organ dysfunction due to unspecified organism. I just began a 10-day course of doxycycline and amoxicillin. I am suffering unpleasant swelling of feet, ankles, and calves. Any other treatments if this fails, such as ultra-high vitamin C doses?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so interesting. That's an interesting question because, what's sepsis? Well, you have an infection. It's a local infection. And, you know, say, you know, your finger swells up or, you know, you have a mouth infection and it's localized. And sometimes that requires antibiotics. Sometimes it's a serious infection. But sometimes you have an infection that goes in the bloodstream, and that's sepsis. And how do you determine sepsis? Well, you do blood cultures. You know, I've done scores of them when I was working in the hospital. And you actually find bacteria in the blood. And that's very bad because that can result ultimately in septic shock, organ failure, and death. So it has to be treated with high-dose antibiotics and sometimes intravenous antibiotics because that, to get into the bloodstream, well, that's the way it has to be administered at high levels. So, yeah, I don't know what is predisposing this gentleman. He sounds a little older. Maybe his immune system is weak, and he's, for one reason or another, maybe a local infection got in the bloodstream, and that's bad. So it has to be treated with antibiotics. So the question is, does IV vitamin C have a role to play in that? And it's been proposed that IV vitamin C can speed the resolution of sepsis, and I looked it up. And what I found was studies both pro and con. Studies that show that in the intensive care unit, when people are virtually on their last legs, it doesn't help that much, which is too bad because there's about a 50% mortality rate from septic shock in the intensive care unit when people have sepsis. Okay? So it didn't really pan out. But I do have a study here, and it's a study of many studies. It's a meta-analysis. IV vitamin C and sepsis. And what it found was that there were modest benefits. So it wasn't like a slam dunk. It isn't bad. It isn't, I mean, you think, you know, somebody's got sepsis, maybe they're already on the verge of kidney failure with high doses of, you know, excess fluids and it's sodium ascorbate, so too much sodium. Maybe the ascorbate, you know, can cause oxalate crystals to form in when your kidneys are failing. I mean, there are some potential dangers in very sick patients. But an ordinary person who's walking around, you know, who has been diagnosed with kind of a slow roll towards sepsis, maybe, just maybe, that wouldn't be so bad. So modest benefits. Again, you know, got to take the antibiotics. The vitamin C is not an alternative to taking powerful antibacterial medication. But it can, according to the latest meta-analysis that came out, possibly be an adjunct to treatment for sepsis. 877-726-8255, our number, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Has your digestive health been striking out due to poor food choices, medications, stress, and other lifestyle issues? This season, hit a home run for your digestive health with Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a live probiotic encapsulated in small, easy-to-swallow capsules that delivers Dr. O'Hara's signature blend of pre, pro, and postbiotics. Dr. O'Hara's award-winning formula contains a prebiotic blend of fruits and vegetables, which are naturally fermented with 13 strains of live probiotic bacteria for a minimum of 3 years. The result? Dr. O'Hara's game-changing postbiotic metabolites, which are key to supporting long-term digestive, immune, and cognitive function. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, an all-star formulation and the best probiotic on the market today for overall digestive health and wellness. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at fine health retailers nationwide and online.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255, our number. And we got lots to share with you in the remaining program. Our number is the number that you can call anytime you like during the week and record a question. This item has to do with coenzyme Q10. You know, coenzyme Q10 has been proposed as something helpful for the heart for a long time. I think it was early in my career, in the 1980s, that I first heard about coenzyme Q10, and then it became a popular supplement, and then along came ubiquinol, and through the role of my good colleague, Dr. Steven Sinatra, the late Dr. Sinatra, who contributed so much to our knowledge of nutritional cardiology, coenzyme Q10 has rocketed into prominence as a cardiovascular nutrient par excellence. But, you know, some studies have shown kind of meh results on coenzyme Q10. It doesn't really work. My criticism of many of those studies is they didn't use enough. They'll use 50 or 100, where some patients who are in serious dire straits with, say, congestive heart failure may require more. They may require higher doses. They may require, 3, 4, 5, 600 or even more of coenzyme Q10. That gets a little pricey, but hey, if it's, you know, compared to medication for congestive heart failure, it's going to be a reasonable bargain. This is a study that just came out
It's an updated 2024 systematic review, another meta-analysis. Yeah, meta-analysis is popular because like one study, okay, what happens when you have a bunch of studies and one study says yay and another study says nay? So what you do is you kind of weigh them and look at the aggregate of all the evidence. And then you can then say, well, yeah, a couple of studies haven't been positive, but those weren't such great studies, or most of the other studies have been positive. So this is a meta-analysis. They surveyed the literature between 2000 and 2023. Would you believe it's been, you know, it's almost 25 years, almost a quarter century since the turn of the century? Wow, that makes me feel old. So what they say here in this study, it's a study of, get this, 243 studies. But they found that of those, only five were up to snuff. So they looked at those five studies. There's still a lot of people involved in the studies, 1,200 participants, 600 males, 600 females. They found that coenzyme Q10 supplementation significantly improved mitochondrial function in cardiomyocytes. Cardiomyocytes, fancy word for heart cells. Evidenced by increased ATP production. Yeah, that's the energy currency of the body par excellence. And also the CoQ10 enhanced mitochondrial respiratory capacity. It's as if the mitochondria are breathing and using oxygen efficiently for energy production. Okay. Additionally, and this is important because it's fine to say, okay, well, you see some things happen in the mitochondria. Where the rubber meets the road. Clinically, coenzyme Q10 was associated with a significant improvement in systolic function. The systole is the part of the heartbeat where the heart contracts and squeezes out blood. And that's the problem in congestive heart failure. There's a reduction in what's called ejection fraction. And then fluid accumulates in your legs and fluid accumulates in your lungs. And then you're breathless and you can't move around. And typically patients with congestive heart failure, they have difficulty walking one block. Well, there are many studies that say that coenzyme Q10 administration can increase walking distance for individuals suffering from congestive heart failure. So there you have it. The meta-analysis supports the beneficial effects of CoQ10 on mitochondrial function and systolic performance in patients with cardiovascular disease. That's the final word. And speaking of the mitochondria, all right, something else that you ought to be using. Are you tired? Are you frequently in a state of fatigue? Well, it might surprise you to learn that your cellular health begins to decline as early as 25 years of age. Yeah, that's the mitochondrial theory of aging. As you age, your cell membranes start to become like Swiss cheese. This cellular damage is the primary cause of biological aging, and it could be the root of your fatigue. But there's a breakthrough supplement that's scientifically proven to repair and renew your body's cells. It's a phospholipid supplement, NT-factor lipids. NT-factor lipids are identical to the phospholipids found in your cellular membranes. NT-factor is the only solution proven and published in medical journals to repair those dead spots in the membranes. If you're older, give you back vitality, focus, and cognitive function of people half your age. If you're young, this is the tool to optimize your energy production. I personally am using NT-factor for years. Don't go a day without it, and I prescribe it for my patients. Learn more about the NT-Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or you can order direct by calling 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158. That's ntfactor.com. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about a cardiovascular risk factor that is often ignored. It's Lp(a), and there's a surprising impact of diet on Lp(a). You know, you eat a lot of fat, a lot of cholesterol, cholesterol goes up. But what happens with Lpa when you go on a low-fat diet? We'll tackle that when we return. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here.
Kyolic aged garlic extract is considered by many to be the goat of garlic, the greatest garlic supplement of all time. For over 50 years, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been the trusted choice for millions for safe, effective cardiovascular and immune support. Aged garlic extract's effectiveness is well documented in over 900 published scientific papers and studies. Kyolic aged garlic extract is created by aging organically grown garlic for up to 20 months. This unique aging process makes aged garlic extract gentle on the stomach, eliminates the offensive garlic odor and taste, and results in safe, beneficial compounds found only in Kyolic aged garlic extract products. Whether you're seeking ways to maintain healthy cholesterol or blood pressure levels, or strengthen your immunity, there is a Kyolic formula right for you. Visit Kyolic.com and learn about Kyolic's many health benefits. That's Kyolic.com. Look for Kyolic at natural health stores nationwide and online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is the number to call or to record a question. We'll take an additional call in just a moment. But this item, I think, is of utmost importance to those of you who are concerned about cardiovascular risk. And we tend to fixate on cholesterol, in particular, LDL cholesterol. And LDL cholesterol certainly can be associated with cardiovascular risk, but I see some real paradoxes. Some people with sky-high LDL don't have any vestige of cardiovascular disease. They live well into their 90s without strokes or heart attacks. And yet, there are others who have relatively low or normal LDL, or they're even taking statins, and yet they still succumb to heart attacks. So it's been pointed out that there are other risk factors, certainly if you're overweight, if you're diabetic, your habits have something to do with it, if you're sedentary, if you're a smoker. But there are also other markers that are important. Homocysteine is important. So too is something called lipoprotein A, or sometimes abbreviated LP in parentheses, lowercase a, LPA. And studies have shown that there is residual risk. What do they mean by that? Residual risk in people who take statins if they still have a high LPA. In other words, the statins somewhat reduce their risk, but it's like, okay, if you're sitting on two tacks and you take away one of them, how much better are you going to feel? You're still sitting on a tack. And people who have high LPA are at higher risk of cardiovascular disease, even if they're taking a statin, even if they annihilate their LDL, lower their LDL dramatically. Still, if LPA is over 90 or over 100, they're at higher risk. I recently checked my own LPA. I was curious. I was happy to see that it was 17, very low. So that may be one of my protective factors against cardiovascular disease, because according to imaging studies, I don't have any plaque yet. So the question arises, what is the effect of diet on LPA? And you might think, well, you know, eat a lot of fat, that's going to gunk up your arteries, right? That's the old-fashioned theory about this, is that, you know, the lard that you eat, you know, recently I made some bacon, and then I collected the lard, I put it in the freezer, and it's like this sort of waxy material, and like you think, well, if you ate the bacon, you get that waxy material in your arteries. That's bad. But they finally did a study looking at the effects of diet on LP little a. What they found was something paradoxical. It turns out that there is an inverse relationship between saturated fatty acid intake and LPA concentration. What does that mean? That means, well, the more saturated fat you take in, the lower your LPA concentration might be. Now, I'm not saying that we all ought to go on a high saturated fat diet to lower our LPA, because there may be other adverse consequences, too many calories, or potentially elevations in LDL. We see LDL sometimes soaring in people who are on ketogenic diets. But when it comes to LPA, it's not as we might intuitively think. So again, I keep talking meta-analyses, okay, systemic review and meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials found that lower saturated fatty acid diets versus higher fatty acids diets had a significant differential impact on LPA.
after low saturated fatty acid diets, which a lot of people are being urged to go on, LPA concentration was higher compared to those on high saturated fatty acid diets. So paradoxically, we may be telling you, okay, you're on a statin, and you should be on, you know, eating low fat. So, you know, drink skim milk, have low fat yogurt, et cetera, you know, trim your meats, get lean meats, you know, take the skin off your chicken, you know, all that stuff. The net effect might be that we're raising people's LP little a, thus increasing their risk for cardiovascular disease. Isn't that weird? So one of the things that's on the drawing boards and soon to be available will be drugs that lower LPA. So people ought to be screened for LPA. This is something that has been called for. I would estimate that maybe 10, maybe 15% of Americans have been screened for LPA, whereas probably 98% of Americans have been screened for cholesterol and LDL. So we ought to screen for this, but we ought to be cautious about the types of diets that we recommend, especially to people who have high LPA, because they could have detrimental effects. And yes, for some people, it's not a matter of diet. No way, no how. Even with the most careful diet, their LPA is going to be high for hereditary reasons. It's not about lifestyle that much. And they may need some of these newer medications to lower their LPA. 877-726-8255, our number. And before we get to phone calls, let me share this with you, because it's kind of a milestone for me. In my 40-year history of broadcasting, I have never endorsed a weight loss product, because most don't deliver until now. The science behind CaliCurb is so compelling that I can now support it as a plausible alternative for curbing appetite and enhancing satiety to help you shed pounds. The active ingredient CaliCurb, Amerisate, comes from a specific New Zealand-grown hops flower, which works by activating your body's own appetite-regulating chemical messengers, including GLP-1, now famous because of all those injectable weight loss drugs. GLP-1 signals specific areas of the brain to effectively manage hunger in just 1 hour. CaliCurb is clinically proven to reduce hunger by 30%, cravings by 40%, and calorie intake by an average of 18%. CaliCurb is a safe, effective, and affordable natural supplement that is made in the United States and has appetite-suppressing effects. No chemicals, synthetics, or caffeine, and it doesn't cause jitters. Take control of your eating habits and cravings naturally with CaliCurb. For more information or order, just go to CaliCurb.com. That's CaliCurb.com, spelled with a C, CaliCurb.com. Use coupon code DH10 for 10% off. That's CaliCurb.com, coupon code DH10 for CaliCurb. Try it. We want to hear your feedback. All right. Let us actually go to a break, and then we'll take a recorded question at 877-726-8255. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. In my 40-year history of broadcasting, I have never endorsed a weight loss product because most don't deliver until now. Science behind CaliCurb is so compelling that I can support it as a plausible alternative for curbing appetite and enhancing satiety to help you shed pounds. The active ingredient in CaliCurb, Amerisate, comes from a specific New Zealand-grown hops flower, which works by activating your body's own appetite-regulating chemical messengers, including GLP-1, which signals specific areas of the brain to effectively manage hunger in just 1 hour. CaliCurb is clinically proven to reduce hunger by 30%, cravings by 40%, and calorie intake by an average of 18%. CaliCurb is a safe, effective, and affordable natural appetite-suppressing supplement made in the United States with no chemicals, synthetics, or caffeine, and it doesn't cause jitters. Take control of your eating habits and cravings naturally with CaliCurb. For more information and order, just go to CaliCurb.com. That's CaliCurb.com. Use coupon code DH10 for 10% off. That's CaliCurb.com, coupon code DH10 for CaliCurb.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter your body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Recorded calls come to us via 877-726-8255. And let's hear one.
For a long time, they said looking at the glycemic index is very important. But I've seen studies that how a person responds to different foods would be very individualistic. As an example, I know someone who eats avocados and then tested his blood sugar, and, you know, it went up quite much. And then there are other people who may eat a food that's said to be high in the glycemic index, and then they test their blood sugar 2 hours or so later, and they find there's hardly been any rise. And I recall you once mentioned some studies from Israel which indicated the same thing. If that's the case, then does it make any sense for a person who wants to keep his blood sugar under control to pay attention to glycemic index?
That's a great question. So I thank you for that. So let's talk about, you know, first of all, what is the glycemic index? And it is a concept that is rooted in the 1980s and 1990s. I remember getting a lecture at a conference where they were trotting out that concept, which is the notion that there's a hierarchy among carbohydrates in terms of good carbohydrates versus bad carbohydrates. Bad carbohydrates have a high glycemic index. They are very, very assimilable. They raise the blood sugar dramatically. And others are, say, in fiber-rich foods, which are slowly assimilated, and therefore they don't have as much of an impact on your blood sugar. So in essence, you could take something that has, say, 50 grams of carbohydrates, two different foods. One might be, I don't know, like a candy bar, and the other might be some brown rice, you know, high fiber brown rice. And although they say have the same amount of carbohydrates, they have different impacts on your blood sugar. And thus, one might be more obesogenic, and another might be more likely to reduce the risk of diabetes, okay, by consuming the same amount of carbohydrates. But this concept is a little bit mechanistic, okay, because it's looking at single foods, and it rates them. And, you know, as you astutely remind me, there are studies that show that even when identical foods are tested in different individuals, that it's different strokes for different folks. And some people will swear to me that, like, very low glycemic index foods, like you mentioned avocados. Well, avocados are mostly fat. You know, I have very little in the way of carbohydrates, if any at all. But somehow that may trigger a rise in blood sugar. And the way that you can find that out these days, you know, it used to be you have to do a lot of painful finger sticks throughout the day. You can use a CGM, continuous glucose monitor, and you can actually see your response to meals. Some of that is thought by Israeli researchers to be due to the microbiome and the way that the microbiome acts on the uptake and assimilation of carbohydrate fuel. And they've developed a predictive model. It's kind of ingenious. It's available as a consumer app called Day 2, and it will predict which foods are best for evening out your blood sugar, preventing highs and lows, peaks and valleys of your blood sugar. And sometimes you may discover that a food that is considered, you know, pretty good on the glycemic index, like, I don't know, kasha, buckwheat. Well, you know, it's a grain, but it's a whole grain. Well, for some people, their blood sugar will go to over 200 when they eat kasha. So the other problem with the glycemic index is that it does not replicate the conditions of real eating. Because when you eat mixed meals. And so it's the rare person who eats like a mono meal of just like one food. Like, I will just now have a serving of brown rice, right? It's going to be in the context of something else. Like, maybe you'll have that with some salmon, or maybe you'll have that with a green leafy vegetable. And all those things affect the rate at which the carbohydrates are assimilated. So I think the best bet these days is for people to do a little trial and error. Look at the meals that you're eating. Get a continuous glucose monitor. And there are ways of doing this without even a doctor's prescription. And you can find out a lot about how you react to different foods. And it may differ from day to day. It may be that after exercise, you react less. Or that if you have a bad night's sleep, or you know, if you're jet lagged, you may have a different reaction to an identical meal. So there's a lot of factors in play. Or, you know, certainly if you're ill, you know, that'll mix things up tremendously in terms of your response to foods. So there you have it. Glycemic index, yeah, you know, looks like the GI diet. They're kind of passe because they're a little too literal about the effects of the carbohydrate composition of foods to mirror real life. 877-726-8255, our number. You can call that number anytime during the week. And you can record a question. This item is interesting because they talk about walking for the cure, you know, for breast cancer, the Susan Komen thing. And, you know, the idea is, yeah, a lot of people start walking, they raise money. But there's also the notion underlying it that exercise can be helpful for survivors of breast cancer. And this article actually explains why. Headline. From Science Daily. Already, 30 minutes of exercise increases the proportion of tumor-killing white blood cells in the bloodstream. And specifically, they looked at 20 breast cancer patients who had just been diagnosed and therefore had not yet started their cancer treatments. During the study, the patients pedaled a bicycle ergometer for 30 minutes at a resistance of their own choosing. Blood samples were taken from the patients at rest before the pedaling. During the exercise and after the exercise, blood samples were analyzed to calculate the amount of many different types of white blood cells. Now, we know the white blood cells are little Pac-Men that attack invaders, fungus, bacteria, viruses, but also they gobble up cancer cells. What they found is during the exercise, the amount of several different white blood cell types increased in the bloodstream. The number of cancer-destroying cytotoxic T cells and natural killer cells increased the most. The number of cancer-promoting regulatory T cells did not change. So, you know, there wasn't a corresponding increase in something that might cause the cancer to proliferate. So this is an interesting study that kind of underlies why exercise, you know, even patients that's kind of debilitated with cancer, you know, cancer treatments can be debilitating, they should remain active because their activity could be part of the cure. 877-726-8255. This item, this appeared in the Wall Street Journal. I read this article with interest. There's this thing called Medicare Advantage. And, you know, I get solicited all the time to join Medicare Advantage. I'm on pure Medicare. Medicare Advantage is said to offer you additional services, perks, and so on. From 2018 to 2021, private insurers involved in Medicare Advantage made hundreds of thousands of questionable diagnoses that triggered extra taxpayer-funded payments. $50 billion in what are called fake diagnoses. So early on in my medical career, I was told that the key to success in medicine was to find the right codes. You find the right codes in the code book, and you can bill the insurance companies. And you got to be creative. Creative billing is a big thing in medicine. And that's unfortunately what the folks at Medicare Advantage companies are doing. UnitedHealthcare, among the biggest perpetrators, what they found is that compared to Medicare patients, folks who were getting Medicare Advantage, you know, similar population of patients, they weren't sicker. They just looked sicker in terms of the coding that showed that they had virtually twice the rate of, say, depression. They had higher rates of various medical conditions that resulted in costly reimbursements. Instead of saving taxpayers money, which is thought to be the rationale for Medicare Advantage, is to offload Medicare. Like, yeah, get the private insurance companies involved. It has, quote, added tens of billions of dollars in costs, according to researchers and government officials. And a reason for this is that insurers can add diagnoses to those that patients' doctors submit. So the doctors use their imagination, but then they've got fleets and fleets and fleets of coders who are creatively coding to garner more government reimbursement. So there you have it. Yeah. All right. Medicare Advantage. I'm kind of skeptical about that. You know, it's thought to be like a way to save Medicare. Not my favorite. All right. As we conclude our program, a reminder, you can email questions to Q&A with Layla, questions at drhoffman.net, or call 877-726-8255 to record questions. Check out our full script dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. Go to drhoffman.com, because that's the place where you'll find all our resources. You can subscribe to our newsletter, download our podcasts, follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and X. And take advantage of all the resources there at drhoffman.com. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us.